Hello and welcome to This Week in Oklahoma Politics. I'm your host, KOSU's Michael Cross, along with ACLU Oklahoma Executive Director Ryan Kiesel and Republican political consultant Neva Hill. Early voting for the November 4th election starts in less than a week. As we are coming down to the wire, let's talk about individual races, starting with the governor. Neva, what does Governor Fallon need to do to secure a win?
Well, I think she's doing exactly what she needs to, and that is retail politics. She's out crisscrossing the state, pressing the flesh, being with as many folks as she can, and really reminding them of what she's done as governor the past 4 years, and asking them to send her back for four more. So I think when you look at the polls, you can take any number of them, but when you average them out, all of the published polls in the past 6 weeks would indicate that she still has a comfortable double-digit lead. And I think now it's just a question of, as with any campaign, as we always say, it's all about the turnout.
And Ryan, the same thing with Joe Dorman. Yeah, he's still a little bit behind on the polls. What does he need to do?
He's got to make sure that Fallon can't just run the clock out. You know, she obviously has a commanding lead in the polls, but it's not inevitable at this point. And again, you know, I'd like to reiterate that back in May, whenever we were talking about this race, we didn't think we'd be talking about a race. And here we are talking about a very competitive gubernatorial campaign in the state of Oklahoma, or at least much more competitive than any of us in this room and I think elsewhere would have thought it would have been. So I think that he's got to make sure that she can't just run the clock out and run a campaign that's short on substance and all about style. And that's what we're seeing right now. It's a campaign that I don't think, even if she's able to pull this election off, it doesn't project a winning message for Republicans into the future, because it's about, I'm more of a conservative than you are. I'm not Obama, but my opponent is. I think that those messages are wearing thin. And her idea that nobody cares more about Oklahoma than her, I think if Dorman in these last a few days before the election can turn his folks out and draw a real contrast that says, well, okay, well, show me how you care. You know, you'll take photo ops with tornado survivors, but you won't build storm shelters. You're ready to flunk third graders because they don't pass one test, and on and on. That's the real challenge for Joe Dorman going forward.
Neva, for the Republican Party, is it important that she has a big win, or does just a win all that matters?
Well, I think the Republican Party needs a win up and down the ticket, and I think the one advantage is that you have two United States Senate races on the ballot with two very, very popular nominees in incumbent Jim Inhofe and, of course, James Lankford. So, and then the congressional races, certainly not competitive across the board, those that have general elections. But they are not taking anything for granted, and they are doing their part to make sure that they can maximize turnout in those districts. And all of that certainly favors Republicans being able to turn out the base and get those conservative Democrats who will cross over and continue to vote Republican.
But, you know, you say conservative Democrats. What I'm hearing from folks that have been out knocking doors and visiting with voters across the state is that there's a lot of Republican dissatisfaction out there. There are Republicans that are willing to turn out for U.S. Senate campaigns and maybe even congressional races, but they don't have that intensity of support for the governor. And I think that, you know, the real difference there, of course, is the governor's record itself, which is difficult to defend. But what we have is a candidate who's not competing dollar for dollar with the governor, but has, and Joe Dorman has made it a race where you do have somewhat of a competing message out there between the two. And when you've got that, you can really cut into the Republicans' advantage in Oklahoma.
Now, in the race for state superintendent, it appears to be neck and neck. In a poll earlier this month, both candidates were at 38% with 24% undecided. Ryan, let's start this time with the Democrat. What does John Cox need to do to win?
Turnout, turnout, turnout. I mean, this race is it's a race where the voters that really care about it, they already have all the information that they need. I think decisions have already been made on where folks are going to vote. There aren't very many persuadable voters out there left to try to uncover during canvassing or through direct mail or TV or radio, newspaper. This is about turning out your base. And, you know, for him, his base in rural Oklahoma is becoming the non-traditional Democratic base for the Democrats in the state. So if he can capitalize on that, get those same folks that helped him win the primary out to the polls, he's got a good shot on Election Day.
Neva, the Republican is Joy Hoffmeister and not Janet Barisi. That's it's a little bit different than what we thought. It was not going to be an incumbent this
year.
The
voters may be confused on that because it seems that the one thing that the Dorman campaign has continued to do in recent days is really attach Mary Fallon and Janet Barisi together and try to make it that it's a referendum on the two of them, even though one is not on the ballot. I think it is interesting that it appears to be very much the style of campaign where Democrats are concentrating on rural Oklahoma, a formula that worked well for Brad Henry when he got past Steve Largent at the time everyone was the presumptive winner in that race. But the difference, you have a situation in this campaign where there is already a widespread, there is a disparity, as Ryan says, in the resources, which is all, you know, all important in the closing days to be able to get your message out. And I think that I think it is true that in the metropolitan areas, while some suggest that Republicans have a little fatigue on, you know, maybe some of the office holders, I think they have not been given a good reason to switch. And so then it gets down to turnout. Will some of them stay home? I doubt it. When it gets right down to it, they're going to come back home and in the numbers that they need to produce a victory.
Oklahoma's only open congressional seat takes place between a former and current state senator. Neva, District 5 has been securely in Republican hands since Congressman John Jarman switched parties in the mid-70s.
Who?
John Jarman.
I'm joking.
Is this a done deal for Steve Russell?
There are no done deals. I mean, And I will tell any candidate, if you think it's a done deal before the polls close on November 4th, you're very foolish. So I think every campaign has to hunker down and make sure that they get the vote out. Polls sometimes can be as much a negative as a positive for a campaign, because when everyone expects you to win and there's no real urgency to get out the vote, sometimes those marginal voters, which you have in non-presidential years, mm-hmm. folks that they have an opinion and they have made a choice, they just sometimes don't make it all the way to the ballot box to make that official. And I think that's where we are in these races, that no one is taking anything for granted.
Ryan, is it possible for Al McCaffrey to pull off an upset here?
Yeah, I think that Neva is exactly right. You can't phone this race in. You can't take voters for granted. When you're running in an open seat like this, you have an obligation to try to introduce yourself to the voters. And you know, if Al McCaffrey is out there introducing himself to the people of the 5th Congressional District and Steve Russell's out campaigning for candidates in other states and already preparing to be a congressman, I don't care if you're a Republican or a Democrat or an independent, that doesn't look good. If Steve Russell is going to pull this off, he's not going to pull it off by phoning it in. And I think that the 5th Congressional District, maybe not this cycle, maybe not the next cycle, but it will be the first district that swings back to the Democratic side, or maybe even the independent side. We're seeing the rise of the independent candidates in Kansas and even South Dakota. So I think that this is going to be one of the most competitive seats in the future, and it could be open pretty soon. If Senator Russell wins this, or former Senator Russell wins this, you know, I don't anticipate him serving in this seat for multiple terms. I think that he'll probably cash out at some point and go on the Fox News circuit, and we're going to have a very competitive congressional race for Oklahomans to look at well into the future.
Already our fourth congressman in the past 8 years, so it might be an open seat again.
Right.
Now, finally, we're looking at just local races. Are there any surprises, anything you guys are looking at right now that could kind of surprise some of the voters or some of the people November 5th?
Like Colin Waukee, I think, stands a really strong shot to upset incumbent state representative Jason Nelson. Colin's been out on the doors. He's had a lot of independent expenditures coming in on his side. This has really turned into a referendum on education at the state capitol. I think the defeat of Janet Barisi was an important message for the direction to policymakers about the direction that people want to see education take in our state. But this right here, this race right here, if the education community can pull off an upset of an incumbent, it will send just shockwaves through the legislature about where they expect their legislators to be on the issue of education. And Colin might pull that off.
Neva, what are you looking at?
I think it is certainly a race that's on the radar, that people, it's very competitive. But I think the fact is Jason Nelson has always had a tough race. He's never been on the ballot, not had a very strong competitor, and has always prevailed. And I think it's not solely, education is not the only issue. I think what you have in Jason Nelson is a reputation as a legislator of being very capable and very willing to be bipartisan and garnering support for initiatives such as the Lindsay Nicole Henry scholarships and other types of pieces of legislation that frankly are very popular with Democrats as well as Republicans in his district. So it's a ground game, and I think it's a turnout game, mm-hmm. as we say over and over and over again. But really, when you look at the bottom line, I think you would have to still give the advantage to Jason Nelson, not only the incumbency factor, but the fact that he has a track record that continues to resonate with the voters in that district.
And that's why I think it's such a big deal. I think Representative Nelson, I know him personally. We served together. He's an upstanding guy. He is such a formidable opponent out on the campaign trail that if he's defeated as an incumbent by Colin Waukee, that's why I think that it sends such a strong message out of the state capitol.
Be one we'll be watching, I know, yeah. On November 4th. Now, state leaders and the governor raised concerns earlier this week about pay raises for the directors of agencies like the Bureau of Investigations and Mental Health. Now, the Oklahoman reports the governor herself gave massive pay raises to the director of OMES and Secretary of State. Ryan, what are your thoughts on this news?
I think this just represents greater tone deafness from the governor's office on the actual needs of the people of Oklahoma. Her spokesman, Alex Wentz, said, well, you know, we can raise the Secretary of State's salary because those don't come from direct revenue. They generate the revenue through fees. Well, who pays those fees? The people of Oklahoma pay those fees. You know, fees are just taxes by another name. These salary increases, and I understand that we've got to be competitive with the private sector, but at the same time, we've got to be competitive with the private sector across the board. Pay raises that went into effect in July, those are the first pay raises in 8 years. We had prison guards went from $11 an hour to $13 an hour. Some social workers got $200 more a month. That is just pocket change compared to the tens of thousands of dollars that these directors received.
Neva, this news just broke yesterday in the Oklahoma. Now, does this have legs? Could this affect the governor's race?
I don't know whether it can affect the governor's race. I would say no overall, because one, time, and two, someone has to drive that message with paid media. It's not just a story, one story on the radio, one story in the newspaper. It has to be something that can be sustained over a period of days. And I'm not sure a campaign wants to rise or fall making this their issue, because while it has a little sizzle, and while the public certainly kind of at first blush kind of steps back and wonders what it's all about, I'm not sure it has the depth of interest that would really persuade voters to move one direction or the other.
Thank you very much. Ryan and Eva's comments do not necessarily reflect the views of the ACLU, KOSU, its staff, or management.